I don't know if you've ever been to Rome and to see St. Peter's Basilica, but if you haven't been there, you've certainly seen pictures of it. And people really don't know that St. Peter's was actually built not just on top of a hill or at the bottom of a hill, but sort of halfway up a hill, the Vaticanus Hill. And you say, well, why would Constantine, the first emperor to legalize Christianity, why would he have built it halfway up a hill? Tradition tells us that it's because that's where the tomb of St. Peter was, and that they built this basilica not just somewhere sort of over, but they actually have the altar and the big baldacchino and then the whole dome right over the tomb of St. Peter. And it seems likely, but I'm not going to get into an archaeology lesson with you this morning. But why was it there? It's because we are told by pretty solid tradition that St. Peter was crucified upside down in the great arena that was right there across the river from Rome at the foot of the Vatican Hill, and that he was cut down, and of course the bones or the remains of someone had to be buried not very far away, but couldn't be buried in the city. They buried him there, and for centuries Christians would come to the tomb of St. Peter. And so when Constantine, the most powerful man in the world, wanted to actually publicly have this huge basilica, huge church, the biggest church in the world, to be built over it, he actually leveled the hill, and he built it right there. We ourselves have to ask ourselves something, though. How is it that a person like Peter held out right to the end? How is it that he held out even to facing crucifixion? Because we know the stories of Peter. Peter vacillated back and forth. He was a man of impulse and great intention, but he couldn't always follow through. Like the story of him walking on water, coming to the Lord when he basically failed in his faith halfway through, or of course the great testing when he actually rejected and denied our Lord, or even in that window of the agony in the garden when it wasn't so dramatic, he just fell asleep and couldn't stay awake. Sometimes it was dramatic, and sometimes it was pretty mundane and prosaic. And yet, he held out to the end. There's another story, too, that when he was Bishop of Rome, that the persecutions were at their full height, and he decided he was going to flee Rome. So he's walking out of Rome, and there is Jesus walking into Rome. And they meet on the Via Flaminio, and he says, Lord, quo vadis, which means, where are you going? There's a novel about this, and maybe you've seen the old movie as well. Quo vadis, where are you going? And Jesus said, you are not willing to stay, and I am going back to Rome to be crucified for the second time. It's only a story, obviously, but it said that Peter turned around at that spot and went back and faced certain death. He didn't conform himself to the world. It's an easy thing to say, well, gee, that's St. Peter, and that's why he's up there on the ceiling. It's a wonderful thing. But the truth is that we too are called to do the same thing. We're called to remember that following the Lord is not going to be something that's easy. In fact, it can be prosaic and mundane, or it can be very dramatic. If you're called to be able to bring yourself out to the world, don't expect that the world's going to love you for it. That's not it. I think the world is going to react in a variety of different ways when we come out and are prophets to the world. One way is going to be derision. Okay, they're going to look at you and say, who do you think you are? I know this. As priests, that's why we wear black. If you don't think that makes us stand out, well, think again. And people can look at you, and we can all interpret the ways that they do it. You know, the raised eyebrow to say, silly people. Silly, silly people. Haven't you gone beyond religion yet? This is the 21st century. Come on, get it together. Or people will look at you with contempt and say, look at those people stuck in this way of thinking or that way of thinking. But other times, people will look at you not just with derision or contempt, but with anger too. How often I've been with people who, because I'm a priest, will react with anger against the church or Christianity, or more obviously and much more frequently, against God. They'll say, what has God done to me here and there, etc.? Don't be surprised at that. Even the prophet Jeremiah, as we heard read this morning, had the same thing. The prophet Jeremiah was a person that was renowned for complaining. The word Jeremiah, which comes right from Jeremiah, is the term that we use for a constant litany of woe and complaints. But maybe Jeremiah had a point, because here he was a prophet, didn't want to be a prophet, but here he was a prophet, And he was always right in what he was prophesying, but nobody believed him. Does that sound familiar? He was always right, but nobody believed him. And this is what he says. The translation is a little different. In the Greek, it's not enticed, it's seduced. And that's a different feeling, isn't it, to a word. Oh Lord, you have seduced me, and I was seduced. You overpowered me, and you have prevailed. And I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everybody mocks me. I'm just a reproach and derision. That's all I receive all day long. I'm sure that isn't something that you've said, but maybe you felt it in your own heart. The truth of the matter is, following the Lord, not conforming yourself to the world, is not going to be something that's going to give you great standing in the world. You know, you're not going to be Nelson Mandela here in the city of Kawartha Lakes or something. That's not it. Because it's not an easy thing not to conform oneself to the world. When we think about this, you have to be in the world. Isn't that true? We're celebrating Labor Day. That's not a religious holiday. It's a secular holiday. Good to have holidays, and I'm not opposed to it at all. But we work in some ways by the rhythm of the world. It's the coming of September. People are back at school or work or vacations have ended. And we're back to the regular chaos. You're back there in high school. You're back in college or wherever, sending people off. And it's a neat, hard thing not to be in that rhythm of the world. You're busy here and you're busy there because of the world. Got to make a living. Got to be able to make the mortgage payments. Got to be able to put food on the table. And it goes on. How then are we not to conform ourselves to the world? It isn't that we're called to be in some other world. We're right here, 2017, city of Kawartha Lakes. But the interior conforming is a different matter. How do I think? Do I think like the rest of the world? Or is my eye set on something else? Because our Lord is not asking something impossible. He's not saying you're not going to have crosses and difficulties and problems in your life. You all know that. You've all got crosses, big and small. You've got crosses that you wish you could lay down. I've got them too. I wish I could pick another cross, if that's the case, or several. But the Lord says, I know you have those problems, but what are you going to do about it? Not much. Most people in our world just sort of say, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. I've got to put up with it. That's not what a Christian says. A Christian says it is God himself in the form of Jesus Christ that will take up our cross. But the cross that he asks us to take is his cross. And that is to bear witness to him through the world by what we do and by how we live. How are you different? What difference does Christ make in your life and in the life of the world? It makes a difference because we can say, we know there's something else. It isn't just to get through life. It isn't just to sort of shrug and try to drug yourself or have whatever kind of substance you want to be able to forget it for a while. That's not it. It's to recognize there's something else, that Jesus Christ walks with us. And he walks with us so that in the midst of whatever it is that we are called to endure and to be, we are called to be a witness to the world. Let him deny himself. And forget all those needs that are so passing and understand there's one thing, and that is to know God and be with God and to live with God, not just in eternity, but to live with God here. That's why we do this. That's why we come to Mass, because it makes that difference not just once in a while in our life, but throughout our entire life and each and every day, because everybody will try to cling on to the things that we have in our life, in our world, and you can't keep them. Things will change. People will change. All kinds of the things that we want to grasp onto, we find that they run like sand through our fingers. But there's one thing that remains, and that one thing is God himself. How then are we called to be able to bring that out to the world by how we live and how we think, what we say, and in the fullest aspect, who we are? Because in the midst of it all, God comes into our life. God comes into our life, and we are called to say to people, you see, it makes a difference. Everything else, it'll all change. One thing doesn't change. Jesus Christ. That's what it means not to conform yourself to the world. And it's true, there'll be mountains and there'll be hills, but those hills can be leveled and those valleys raised up, because the power of the Lord will call us from where we are into what we are meant to be.